Welcome back, friends. For the next few episodes, Sarah and I thought we would spend some time talking about the angelic realm. Today, we have the great pleasure of recording on the Feast of the Archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And really, it is a condescension of the good Lord and those angel hosts to let us even know their names. We humans did not name those angels. Those names were given to them by our Lord, and he has seen fit to share that with us. And if you remember our series of episodes from last month on nominalism, names, and we'll get into that a little bit here in this these episodes. It really is a great thing to know a name of something.
Yes.
The title of these next episodes is The Angelic Realm, Why Lucifer Can't Be Forgiven, But Man Can. With that opening statement, Sarah, do thoughts come to you, or I can go straight into it?
Well, we were actually talking a little bit about that. Yeah. No, we were actually talking about that a little bit today, just in regards to angels who have no sensory input. They are pure intellect. And so all of these things are very interesting in regards to how man comes into and the angelic realm comes into an awareness of God. And I think that that's going to be a large part of what you're going to talk about in regards to Satan. You know, man always projects what is appropriate or proper to man on things around him, which is why we anthropomorphize our dogs, right? And, you know, we'll talk about our grand puppies and things like that. And we have a tendency to do those things also in the angelic sphere. And we wonder then, why is it possible if man can be forgiven, you know, and can our animals go to heaven? You know, why can't angels be forgiven, kind of thing. So I think that we have to be able to step back from our own vision of this to see how God actually clearly orders a structured hierarchy of beings for the good of all, frankly.
That's correct. And Sarah said exactly right. Yes, we will step back, and we're going to start to define terms as we always do. It's just good form, if you will, in conversation. So the definition of an angel, what is that? That is a spiritual, personal, and immortal creature. Spiritual, personal, person, immortal, without end, creature. But they had a beginning. They didn't always exist as God does. So that's how they're distinguished from God. God has always existed. He created angels. They have a beginning. These beings have an intelligence and a free will that's part of being a person, who glorifies God without ceasing and who serve God as a messenger of his saving plan, surpassing in perfection all visible creatures. That's from the Catechism. Paragraphs 329 to 331. Augustine will say, angel is the name of their office, not of their nature. So now Sarah and I spent quite a bit of time in nominalism discussing the difference between form, being, and substance and nature, if you will. If you seek the name of their nature, it is spirit. If you seek the name of their office, it is angel. From what they are, spirit. From what they do, angel. And so kind of very somewhat analogous to us, we have a spirit, we have a form, but then what we do, you know, with our matter is our bodies. So something along those lines. So now going straight into man. Contra to man, who is both spirit and body, and we call that helimorphic. And that's contra to Christ, who has a hypostatic union of divine and human natures. So we have a few different types of personal beings going on here. We have God, who's a person, three divine persons. We have angels, who are spiritual persons. We have man, who is spirit and body. And then we have Christ, who is a hypostatic union of both divine and human natures. And then, of course, we have animals. Sarah brought up animals. They have bodies. They have physical bodies. They have, if you will, a soul, that bios that enlivens them. But they have no spirit.
Right.
There is no immortality with an animal. So when we use the word soul for an animal, which Paul will use, right, spirit, body, soul, or the Greeks will use the word psyche for soul, and Romans are going to call it anima. Aristotle also referred to the soul as the life principle of any living thing. For him, plants had nutritive souls, and animals have sensitive souls, and humans have rational souls. Belief in angels is a truth of the faith, because you can't prove it. Unlike the five proofs for the existence of God, there is no rational proof for angels. It is a one of the doctrines of the faith.
Well, I think that it is very interesting that when we're looking at the two different ways that God begins this process of introducing information to man, you know, how he begins to address things with the Jewish people, it was obviously through divine revelation, through prophets, even through him directly speaking to someone like Moses or something like that. Whereas with the Greeks, what you have is an engagement with the natural world. Right, they don't necessarily begin with divine revelation. They begin with what their senses are capable of telling them. And the thing that's very interesting is that Aristotle, with just that information alone, was capable of approaching very, very closely to what was being divinely revealed to the Jewish people. And that great synthesis that actually comes together, you know, through under the auspices of St. Paul going to preach in Greece, and then St. Augustine truly synthesizing from both elements, right? From the natural world of his being raised underneath that Greek tutelage, in addition to his being able to adopt what I would call the divine revelation through the auspices of Paul, obviously hundreds of years prior to his being there, but that fusion that finds itself and that truth that is able to be spoken to us through Augustine, that is kind of the marrying or the marriage of the natural law being joined together with the divine revelation, and they fit together so beautifully.
They absolutely do. They absolutely do. I call that a very fertile fusion.
Right.
Of faith and reason, fides et ratio.
Truly.
And only God, I think, could bring such a harmonious complementarity of both perspectives together. And we will pick up with Thomas Aquinas in the next episode, my friends. Till then, fides et ratio.